Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning in a new year, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, where should we start? I guess we'll start nationally with the idea now that we have a newly divided government, and who's going to control the political agenda at this point? We're amid a shutdown, of course, expecting a meeting today among the leadership. Your thoughts on where we're headed now in 2019?
David, it's the art of the deal all over again. Trump is convinced that what worked in the real estate industry will work in politics. It doesn't. We know that. So he calls them all into the White House and tries to come up with a deal. He knows he looks bad. The national parks are closing. The toilets are overflowing. People are out of work. Everybody's getting angry. And people can empathize with all those people who don't have a paycheck coming in, who need one because everybody gets a paycheck. And so, therefore, this is a calamity for Trump. So what he'll do is he'll bargain his way out of this eventually. I know that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi believe they have nothing to gain by capitulating on his so-called $5 billion wall. And so now it's up to him to make the deal. And in my opinion, he will do that. In the meantime, a very interesting thing has happened, David. And that is that Mitt Romney, of all people, is now taking his office. We all thought he had made his deal with Trump when he was running for Senate, but apparently not, apparently very angry, saying that Trump basically isn't up to the job and has failed at it. This coming from a former Republican presidential nominee who looks a lot better now compared to what is in the White House. So he's going to do his thing. And apparently the people in Utah will support him. So that's what leadership is about. And he's calling out the president.
We also just witnessed the announcement that Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, of course, from Massachusetts, is entering the race for president in 2020. And some articles now saying that former Vice President Biden is paving his way.
Well, I have always considered Biden as the front runner. He's a little bit older for the job, and there will be people who think that and say that, including those on our panel, some of those on our panel, certainly not me. I think he's the safe bet. If he doesn't put his foot in it, which he has a penchant for doing, he could well win this thing. I think it could be anybody but Trump. ABT, you know, we have the young guys coming, like Beto O'Rourke, who's apparently up there. I was watching CNN earlier, and they put on a picture of about, you know, 50 people who think they might want to run for president. So anything can happen in a primary. Somebody's going to capture the public attention. And I think for most people, as it was in the John Faso, Antonio Delgado race, Trump was the major factor. And I think that that is going to be the case right now.
Talked about this before, but another top 10 list of potential 2020 candidates has New York's U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Number 10 on the list, nowhere on that list is Governor Cuomo.
Well, look, I've said it before. I believe that Governor Cuomo is positioning himself just in case lightning strikes. Do I believe it'll strike? I think you have to put yourself out there. You can't say they're going to come and coronate me. But I do think he's doing what he needs to do. He's positioning New York as the leader. I've said it 1,000 times. You've all heard me say, if Governor Cuomo wants it, Kirsten, and I asked him about it, then Kirsten Gillibrand's going to have to get out of the way. First of all, she's not going to get the nomination, although she could well be the vice presidential nominee if the party decides it has to have a woman.
And you alluded to it. There was Governor Andrew Cuomo last night at Ellis Island, symbol of immigration for the United States. He did not shy away from that. New York is paying to keep the island Statue of Liberty open during the partial shutdown, and he unleashed a very energetic attack against President Trump's policies, including things like division and that it's like a cancer, a social depression. And as you said, New York is going to lead the way and bring light to the darkness.
Well, he knows. First of all, there's nothing to lose here. New Yorkers are adamantly opposed to Trump. We have seen that before, as I mentioned, just referenced Delgado Faso race, and they're proving it. They took all these House seats, and they took the state Senate, and Cuomo was where he should be on this, according to his politics. Nevertheless, he kept Ellis Island open. He said that he would do that. One and one makes two. When he said it, the speech had already been scheduled. So, he's doing the right thing, and he made the speech, and of course, he ticked off everybody in the government who think that Albany is the home of government. Then you give your speech in that home, but he didn't do it. He went to New York City, where not only are all the Democrats, or many of them, but all the media.
Also history made yesterday in the same hall where Letitia James, the now official Attorney General for New York State, was sworn as the first African-American woman to be the state attorney general. She immediately talked about going after the people in the highest offices if there was corruption and that no one was above the law.
Well, that's going to be very interesting to watch. We will see whether or not the fact that Andrew Cuomo endorsed her and pushed her will mean that if there is corruption in the highest ranks of state government, she'll go after those too. For her, it's easy to talk about Trump. Yeah, it's a good thing. I appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is, when you get people like Todd Howe and Joe Bococo and Elaine Calieros, and you have wrongdoing, it's going to be very important to see that it isn't always the feds who do the dirty work, but that she's willing to do that too. So I think a lot of people have their eye on her on that matter. She claims that she will. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see, David, whether or not she'll come on WAMC and answer the hard questions.